Marto and Margot. Triple M Breakfast, made in Brisbane for Brisbane.
Another show done and dusted. And this here is the catch-up podcast exclusive to the listener app. Marto, Margot, you have fun today?
Oh, mostly, yeah, I think
so. We always have fun.
I've got a problem though, Margot, and I've been going home. I watch it, and tonight Kyrgios is playing again. I like the tennis. It's exciting. I like watching it. I was a tennis player when I was younger, but, geez, it's boring to talk about tennis. Christ, I'm sorry. And I asked if we could talk tennis during the show.
We had Casey Delacroix on today.
Wasn't her fault.
Not only is she Channel 9 commentator, but she's Ash Barty's best friend. She was incredible.
Yeah, but they never get arrested, apart from Djokovic. They never get arrested. Like, they're boring. They're dull. Sportism. You know what I'm talking, don't you? They're so focused on their sport, they don't have a life, tennis players. They're dull, apart from Kyrgios.
Way to sell it. Well done, Marto.
Okay. Anyway.
Marto feels about the tennis like I do about the cricket.
Yeah, I can
Neither of us are selling the other one to
No, yeah, I know. But I like watching it, but I just shouldn't talk about it. I think I just keep it inside.
Well, there's plenty more else in the show. We'll talk about bobsledding today, which you'll hear that in the catch-up podcast. A can of worms. You're also talking about personalised plates. Mm. Are they for losers?
Wank. We found out what the worst trade is, too. Some angry bricklayers out there, it seems.
And then what? We'll get into the podcast.
Yeah, okay, let's just do it. It's the catch-up podcast, Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Hey, Marto, over the holidays, I did a bit of driving up and down the M1 in that first week because we were still here on air, but I was on holidays down the Gold Coast.
And Caravan Park.
Up and down the M1 I went every day, and you see a lot of things when you're driving up and down the M1. I mean, our listeners out there always are letting us know what's happening out on the roads, but there's some interesting behaviour that goes on, but there's also some interesting number plates, and that was something that really caught my eye driving up and down the highway, because I'm finding that I'm seeing more and more personalised number plates, and sometimes
Can I have a check? You know, when you buy a car, you see other cars like that, they catch your eye. Because you've got personalised number plates yourself, do you... Because I don't really look all that much. Do you
It's top of mind for me, so I see it more.
You go, mine's better than that.
Yeah,
that's
possibly.
Not as good as mine.
I mean, maybe after this chat, you might start noticing more personalised number plates because it's now top of mind.
Maybe everyone will while we're having this chat.
Maybe there's some number plates that are out there for attention to be brought to, and then there's some number plates out there that people just go, oh, you know what, I don't want the green and white standard one, so I'm just going to turn the six, you know, the three letters and the three numbers into something that looks a little bit nicer, that matches the car perhaps, and they get a black option or they get a white option or whatever it might be. I'm seeing a lot of tradies with more number plates, personalised number plates, you know, and it generally is just two letters, generally their first and last name initials, and then the year they were born.
Well, I don't think I ever knew anyone with a personalised number plate until I met you, and you have a few. You have that MP85, which is... You have six.
Well, not me personally, but we as a family. Well, we actually have 10
collectively. You only have two people who drive in your family. How can you have six?
Well, I've put number plates on lay-by for the kids because, you know, you don't want their...
stop the
you
show.
Asked. You don't want them to go.
You
and, you know, when they get to a certain age and they get a car, you know, they can buy them from us.
Use bags. Your kids... your kids are 5'2". To 11 or 12, use bags for one for each of them.
Yeah. Well, what happens when they grow up and get to like 18 or 17 or 18, get their license, and then the number plate that they want is gone?
Just get a normal number plate.
Thank you, Jamie. Let's have a
bloody
chorus
hell.
Here. Margot, MP85, I thought that was classy until I heard you had four bags. But your other one, tell everyone what your other one
is. Well, MP85 used to be on my car. That was my number plate. It's now on my jet ski trailer. And then
hold on. I can't. What?
The reason.
Hold on.
Head's going to explode here.
Well, the whole reason why I brought this up was because I saw a number plate exactly the same as mine.
You can't
tell. But with one thing different.
Oh.
So the number plate was actually Corey's number plate that I pinched off one of his old hot rods. So he had a 55 Cadillac that he sold. And on that Cadillac, it had Big Girl. And
I've seen that number plate.
I took that number plate when he sold the car. I said, don't you dare sell it. I want it for my Land Cruiser.
How do you change Big Girl? Big Girl 1 or something?
So it had Big Girl. Mine doesn't have a space between Big and Girl.
Like double G?
Big Girl. Yeah. Oh, there she is, Big Girl.
And that's what you've got on your Land Cruiser.
But I saw another car with the number plate Big Girl, but two separate words. And I was like, oh, there is another Big Girl out there, but with a space.
Yeah. You do live in a different world.
for me.
But I've got big girl on the Land Cruiser because she's a big car. She's a big, yeah, girl, big girl, you know. Yeah. And then so then I put MP85 onto the jet ski trailer. And then Margot I got as a Christmas present from Corey.
Oh, you got another one?
A couple of years ago, and that's on the Mustang.
Oh, I've seen the Margot. That's seven.
But it's like a creative form of expression,
hold on,
I guess.
That's seven that you've got.
Just stop.
Well, then Corey's got Holland.
That's eight.
H-A-U-L-I-N.
Oh, for the truck.
For the truck. He's got like a big old F truck.
That's eight.
That's got Holland. And then I think he's getting another one for, he's building some XR wagon thing. Can I, that'll be like low and slow.
I don't live in the world of personalised number plates. I'm led to believe two letters or numbers, that's the most expensive, or one is.
If
I just had number two, it's quite expensive, that correct? Expensive.
Well, I think there's certain criteria around things because some of the letters are reserved for like the politicians and, government and governors. And the Queen
if
head.
If I just had three letters, like I said, Rex or something like that, that'd be quite expensive.
Yeah, like I've got a girlfriend with three letters and it's like $3,500.
Ooh, shut up.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily the more numbers, the more expensive. Right. It's the more customised it is, the more expensive. But you can get them from like $495. Like I just had some plates turned into like nice little black and white ones. They weren't, particularly personalised. They were like $400. Like, it doesn't have to be an expensive process. But people, you see some pretty funny ones. Like, there's a lawyer on the Gold Coast that I've seen. He's got acquitted as his number plate. Sometimes it can be for business purposes. People use them for all sorts of reasons.
What business? Why does anyone care if it says it's acquitted? Oh, I better go to that lawyer. Ooh. Okay, can I open one of these?
Triple M Breakfast's can of
I don't want to tell this. Well, it's just, you and I seem to be living in these parallel universes that don't have anything to do with it. You and your personalised number plate, me trying to hide.
Plates have actually literally had to bring out a whole new range of plates because they can't keep up with the demand. There's certain demographics that are this appeals to.
All right.
And everyone's got them.
So can of worms, what are you asking?
They're eye-catching, Marto.
Now I'm scared, but because I'd say there must be a lot of people who love them, but I don't know what they do for anyone. Are personalised number plates for losers?
What?
Well, no
way.
133353.
No, it's a creative form of expression, Marto.
Has it done you, one day that you've been driving one of your eight personalised number plates, has it done you any good? Has it helped with anything?
Well, it brings attention to yourself and sometimes unwarranted because I've pulled through the drive-through a couple of times at Macca's and they're like, all right, Margo, put down the cheeseburger.
Number plates. Are they for losers?
We're going to get you a set of personalised number plates that's going to say Marto.
It's already gone.
Has it really?
And it caused trouble. I know the other Marto. He's a barrister. He drives a Porsche Cayenne, the big four-wheel drive.
Sexy.
Porsche, like it's worth, who knows what that's worth, and it makes me look like a bloody idiot. Everyone goes, thinks that's me driving around
you.
This flash. Doesn't have the tools in the back.
Well, Marto's a wanker.
And I used to do triathlons
really slowly. This guy's the world's best over the age of 50, world's best triathlete. People used to go to triathlons, go Marto, and I go, geez, if they think that's me, that is tremendous. But the number plate.
There's heaps of reasons people have them, right? And you don't really understand it.
Showing off.
Or get it. Well, that's the reason I have them. Yeah. Yes, tick. There's also for business reasons, promoting something, or there's just creative expression. People just, having a bit of fun with it.
I've just been told that Personalised Plates Queensland, of course, advertise on this radio station.
Do they PPQ?
Now, the question I've asked, personalised plates are for losers. Can I pull out?
Take that back.
No, it's a bit of fun.
Rod from Glen Eagle, good morning.
Mate, how you going?
Yeah, good. Where do you stand when it comes to personalised plates? Do you love them? Do you hate them? Have you seen some clever, creative ones?
Love it, Margo. I'm on your side, mate. I've definitely seen some good ones, and I've got four myself.
Yeah.
Roddy, what do you got?
Mate, I've got a 57 Chev. It's got top 057 on it.
Oh, yeah.
Which it is one of the top 57 Chevs in the state. I've got a 62 Chev with top 062 on it.
Yep.
My wife, a little snotty, has got MY BMR on her BMW.
Clever. I've seen her BMW. We've got that rolling around the streets of Cornubia.
So my BMW was already taken.
Yeah, so she's got her BMW and then the husband's got his BMW.
Rod,
what else have you got, Rod?
Marvo, and I've got another little BMW, which is an M3, which has got M3 on it.
Yeah, see?
Clever.
And, you know, that's
I love your laugh, Rod.
They're also an investment, aren't they, Rod? Because if at any time BMW wanted to get the number plate M3, because that's one of their vehicles, you could sell it to them for whatever price. You'd just be like, right, open your checkbook.
You probably could, mate, but I'll tell you what. I reckon you should get them, Marto. Don't care what you get on them, but you've got to get them, mate.
What do you reckon, Rod? What do you reckon Marto should have?
Hold on. Just first, what good has it done for you in life, Rod? Like, has anyone stopped you and go, you are a champion?
Well, mate, I'm a 57 Chev, yes. It's a show car.
Yeah, fair enough.
And it's big in that world, isn't it, Rod? Like, I know Corey always has, like, he had a 38 Plymouth and he had low 38 on it because it was chopped and it was low.
Rod's voted yes. We better move on. Thanks, Rod. Sharon from Eagleby, are you for or against?
Well, I don't have them myself, but I really enjoy reading them. Oh. I think they're very funny. And yesterday I saw one that was an absolute classic. It was on a BMW, funnily enough, on the gateway, and it said, yeah, nah.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. I'm happy with that.
That's my favourite Aussie saying. I love that. So that was really fun.
I love that.
I love trying to work them out too, Sharon. It's the ones that use the numbers as the letters, you know, that sometimes I struggle with. But, no, they're very clever at times.
Hold on. Here's where the trouble starts. Paul from Windaroo on the burner phone. I've been driving my wife's car with the plates Hot Chick. Okay.
Sexy, Paul.
He says the disappointment on tradie's face when they race up for a perv and see my bald head is heartbreaking. Personalised plates are a no for me.
Well, if you're driving around as a hot chick, Paul, I can't imagine
that
why
is,
you'd
that's gold.
Be for them.
All right, we'll take one more.
John, hey, how are you, mate?
Not too bad, yourself?
Yeah, rolling around the streets of Kingston. What catches your eye when it comes to a personalised plate? Are you for them or against them?
I'm against them. I think if people have too much time and money on their hands to have to worry about license plates, just get one, put it on your car, and drive.
Join the Grumpy Club. Thanks, John.
Thanks for your call.
Did we get a total?
I love John from Kingston for ringing through. 80% of people love personalised plates, John.
Sorry to say
you're in the minority.
That's all right. Triple M. Marto and Margo.
Triple M Breakfast. Hey, a federal election, I think they have to have it by May, and, I'm talking about it because Clive Palmer, I was wondering who he was. He's popped his head up again yesterday, launched his election campaign before the election's actually been called.
I don't know about you, Marto, but my favourite colour is yellow.
He could have been the yellow. He could have bought the Wiggles and put himself into the yellow skivvy.
It's a very confronting yellow, isn't it? It's very bright and bold, and he's got a lot of money to back himself, doesn't he?
Did anyone get a figure? How much is Clive Palmer?
$5 billion.
$5 billion. He's a shrewd businessman, which is, do you realise last time he did this, the last federal election, when he had a real crack, remember there was yellow billboards
everywhere.
$82 million he spent on donut, zero seats he achieved.
Ooh.
And you'd go, I'm a shrewd businessman.
How
many
percentage of the vote is that? Like, would he have had people who voted even though he didn't get a seat?
They voted.
They'd have 1% of votes.
And he mainly goes to the Senate, so you're off. But zero. Pauline Hanson gets seats. Clive spends $82 million. And I'm going, gee, he must be a shrewd businessman if he's worth $5 billion. But he's having another go.
What's he mining?
Mining, yeah. Mainly mining leases. And the Chinese pay him to do, who knows. He owns about 15 houses now, that sovereign island. And Clive, he's back. And he bustled up yesterday to make the announcement.
Clive Palmer wants to be a politician again, and tonight he's planning his comeback. He's vowing to make Australia great and says this time he has the people power.
Where have I heard that again?
Power of the people.
Make Australia great again. Where was that?
Donald Trump.
Did he rip that from a song? Didn't he get in trouble for Dean Schneider?
We're not going to take it. How much did that cost?
Who's he going to rip off this time?
Who knows? Well, he doesn't care because he just has to pay him a few million just added onto the bill. But he's got all the papers covered today. But last night, the people have spoken, he said. You know, they have said, you've got to run again.
It's been decided that I will leave the Senate ticket at this election on a national level.
It's been decided. But decided by who? The whole party, United Australia Party, is just him.
What was that former footballer that he had on board?
Oh, Lazo, the brick
Glenn
with eyes.
Lazarus, yeah. Is he still there?
Yeah, he doesn't look like he's poking his head up.
He's got Craig Kelly on board. Craig Kelly's there, isn't he?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Who else has he got? He's got three pages in the first two pages of The Australian.
They're
big money. That's $50,000 worth of advertising just in that paper.
Actually, we've got to be nice to him because he'll probably spend money on Triple R. Mm. Oh, he spends money everywhere. So don't be nasty because he's got some good ideas.
Australians know how they've been treated. Mm. They know how their democracy's been trashed.
Yeah, and I've been saying... Yeah, I don't want to vote for either. I've had enough of the big parties.
Liberal and Labor.
Yeah, just vote for Independent. And then I thought, vote for Independent. But I can't.
I'd be willing to be swayed from voting for the Pirate and the Sex Party this year, Marto, and I could maybe vote for Clive.
Do you think that Anthony Albanese knows all the names of his candidates and stuff, all his party, and Scott Morrison? You'd think they would. Oath. You'd think so. Yeah. Well, Clive only had two of his candidates up there, okay? There was big Clive in the middle. There was one rooster on his right, one on his left, and he thought, I'll introduce them.
Here from Brisbane, on my right, is Joe McCabe.
Just to clarify, what's the name of the gentleman on your right? Sorry.
It's a great question, mate. My name's Jack. I do have an Uncle Joe.
You've got an Uncle Joe, but I'm Jack. Maybe you got the wrong place. Anyway.
It all starts with J. It's all the same.
Time and money is on his side, so he'll come good.
Some peasant there to my left.
Yeah, I know.
Who are you? What do you do? From?
The whole world loves David Attenborough, correct?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a new one coming out. And they
A new what?
A new show? It's called The Green Planet.
It's still going. How old is he? He's incredible.
Early 90s.
Incredible, isn't he? And such a distinctive voice and such a friendly wash over your voice, isn't it? And I thought, oh, that's great coming up, but they kept on playing the ad. He's covered the plant world. He's done everything.
Volcanoes,
he's covered the Antarctic. He's done everything. Finally, he's having a look. He's calling it The Green Planet, but it's not just about plants.
From plant heroes to sensitive beings, they can be dramatic, competitive, and even masters of deception. Join me, David Attenborough, as I unravel the secret lives of plants.
Bong smoking stoners.
In a groundbreaking new series, The Green Planet.
Starts February 9.
That I want to see.
That might not have been. That may have been altered.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Marco.
Marto, I was listening to Luke Boner on my way in this week, and I heard him talking to a guy about brickies, and they were saying that brickies are the worst trade, A, to work for, and B, just in general, it's a pretty rubbish job.
Well, it's tough, and it's not just about bricks because there's blocks, and those bloody best of blocks are so heavy. They're nothing but hard work, brickies. But you said to work for them.
Well, they were saying that Brickies, not very nice people.
You know, I was a labourer in Hervey Bay for like 20 years. You cop a lot of shit on the job site. Sorry about the language. You're going to get sworn at. You're going to get spoken to like shit. Like, brickies can be bastards and they treat labourers like turds. So you just take it on the chin or you just get out of it.
I was like, oh, my gosh, hang on a second. Who wants to be a brickie or a brickie's labourer? That doesn't sound like a very nice job.
I'm sure we got a few brickies on the way to work now. Well, the most important, they're paid per brick, what they lay per brick. So it's most important that they don't have to do any of the work, any of the mixing of the mud, the mortar, or getting the bricks in posse. You just want them laying that brick, and that you got to get there, and they need to be in that zone.
I know.
Then they get paid more money. So the labourer, get your work done. If you're not very good, they piss people off real quick.
Well, I thought maybe this guy was exaggerating a little bit, but we had a guy that rung in just earlier this morning, and he was
Oh, that was Michael from Capella.
Yeah, Michael said, well, yeah, we aren't very nice.
Yeah, it's about 30 minutes ago.
We want to talk about the worst tradie, and I'm not talking about the worst trade or who earns the most or who's the best trade. You blokes have apparently got a bit of bad name for yourself.
Why is that?
Brickies are the worst trades to work for.
Bullying brickies labourers. Is that? Have you ever bullied a brickies labourer, Michael?
Of course you do.
I mean, we don't encourage bullying of any form here at Triple M, but this is what we're hearing, that the brickies are the worst tradies to work for as a labourer.
That's only one person saying that. There's other.
But being a brickie doesn't sound like an awesome job in itself. It sounds like a relatively tough gig.
Tough job.
Tough job.
So therefore you need your labourer.
Concreters were the worst job, perhaps always bending over, sore knees, bad back.
When you say worst job, do you want the hardest job physically?
Well, no, what I want to know is who's the worst trade to work for as a labourer? Who are the worst people on the job site?
A can of worms there.
Do you just want to speak generally?
Just generally. Oh, we've got plenty of tradies there on the job site now. They're on their way to work, listening, going, yeah, my job is A.
Take some calls.
Pretty rubbish. Or B, the people I work for are mean to me. 133353.
I was going to say plasterers. They got one of the hardest jobs. I don't think they're bad people.
All right.
So generally the worst people.
Just the worst trade. What is it? 133353. Because we hear about the electricians, they're the rich trade. You know, the electricians and plumbers are the rich trade. They charge the most. And we know that concreting and bricklaying is a pretty tough job. I'm sure carpenters would have something to say about that. But what's the worst trade? You might be in it and hate it. Maybe you're looking for a change.
A lot of painters will say they've got the worst trade because they cover up everyone else's problems. People will go through and go, the painters will fix that. The painters will fix that. That's every trade does that. And the painters get there and go, oh, geez, I hate everybody. Who do you reckon, Jamie? You cast the first vote. Jamie from Summoner Park.
How going, guys?
Yeah, good, mate. You a brickie? Are you a brickie? Or is it another trade you want to nominate for being the worst?
No, it's the brickies. About 20 years ago when I first left school, I went, started bricklaying, worked with this guy for about 3 months. He told me, we used to do a lot of high-set houses, so he said, throw the bricks properly, one hits me hand and breaks, you're in trouble. So I threw about 300 bricks. And this one I threw this day, I knew it had spun out of me hand, I was off.
Oh, you took off to the car.
You ran.
No, I took off down the battery, hoping there wasn't a house getting built next door to us, so I had a bit of get-off part. But, mate, next thing I've woken up on the ground, face full of dirt, with the half a brick that fell off his hand, hit the scuff and broke, straight between the shoulder blades.
Oh, no. He got you.
I told you and I warned you.
Hey, how much how long after that did you last?
2 weeks. Next house, we had a white mutton house. So somebody was telling me to take some beanbags. White beanbag things in there. Yeah. I mixed that in the mud for him. See how he could lay a level brick with that.
Oh, no. And that was the last day, wasn't it?
That was your resignation letter, Jamie.
What are you doing now, Jamie?
I'm sitting in an Uber car driving Ubers.
Aircon, Triple M on, how good. That's the life. That's a trade you want to work in.
No one's throwing a brick at you there.
Wow. We play songs here at Triple M. week a week. All right. Thanks
for calling, Jamie.
The brickies are in the lead.
Jake from Redbank Plains, do you agree? Or you want to add to the voting poll?
Yeah, I reckon brickies are the worst to work for.
Are you a brickie or a brickies labourer?
I've worked for probably about 8 to 10 different brickie companies around these areas.
Righto. Now, what's their similar trait of brickies?
They're all grumpy. If I was, a brickie for, 40 years, I'd probably be grumpy and arrogant too.
Why are they so grumpy, Jake?
Because it's heavy work.
It's constant back-breaking work. They're constantly bending over to the ground, getting mud, then bending over to the ground again to pick up bricks. That's all they do all day.
Yeah, so they don't want an idiot who's their labourer putting the mud in the wrong spot or the bricks wrongly stacked, I suppose.
Yeah, or too far away where they got to stretch and go gadget arm it. Yeah.
Surely they're not all bad. I mean, we met Andy from Tanamera.
And his brother, what was his brother's name? Des, maybe. Oh, anyway,
they helped us with the lend a hand. He was happy as.
We didn't see him laying the bricks. I went to a job. Actually, I went to a job he was working on and he wasn't unhappy that day. Anyway.
He's lovely.
We didn't have to labour for him.
Okay.
Hold on, they're copping a fair old slagging. Can I just read this one off of the burner phone? What's the number again, Margo? 0484 10 1045. Send us a text any time because you get in the show. Nick from Burpengary, thanks, mate. Concreters. Yeah, they stitched me up on my first day as an apprentice with the old bag of cement over the head trick on day one.
Jesus.
I don't know that trick, but I imagine when the cement's empty, there's lots of lime in there pulling it over. It's not very comfortable. I got the last laugh by dumping a heap of food colouring in the mix on day two. Needless to say, there was no day three. Okay, thanks, Nick.
Also, safe work environments, no bullying. No. We don't tolerate it. But Dale from the Gold Coast. Worst trade, what is it, Dale?
All right, I've been in the construction industry sort of forever, but I also used to be a purchasing manager for a hotel, and the worst
are chefs.
Chefs. All they that heat in the kitchen, if you can't handle it, get out. Isn't that what they say?
But they go
arrogant. And most of them are the head chefs are like Wolfgang or Bernhard.
Okay, let's not generalise about Germans.
What about Gordon? What about, isn't he the worst chef?
Come here, I've had enough. I don't want any more embarrassments. I just want to go with some food. Sit down, eat that. Enough's enough. F*** off and go and put some more makeup on.
I think Gordon Ramsay set the tone for the chefs, didn't he?
Dale, you can't have a go at them because they've got real sharp knives as well. Angry man with sharp knives. Great call.
Thanks,
on the chef.
Dale. Gavin from Albany Creek, good morning.
Morning, how you going?
Yeah, good. Is it brickies that you reckon is the worst trade, or perhaps you agree with Dale? Is it chefs?
No, I reckon if you work for a shearing shed company.
Shearing, like sheep?
A shearer or being a classer?
Oh, I've been around about.
Yeah, right, I do in the labour.
Okay, so please explain.
A shearer's labourer.
Yes, a shearer's labourer, yeah.
So what sort of stuff do you have to do as a shearer, Gavin, that makes it the worst?
You've got to keep the fleeces away from the shearers, and if the floor's dirty, they get upset with that, and if you hit them with the cleaner, they get upset with that.
Yeah.
And you haven't got enough sheep in the pens.
And it's hot.
You're like a brickie's labourer. You've got to keep it up to these craftsmen because they are craftsmen, aren't they, Gav? The work they do, and they've got to do it fast because they get paid per fleece. How long did you last, Gav?
Oh, me, I only filled in for a couple of days for a bloke that was short. That was me. I was done.
That was enough. No wonder why he was short. Jeez.
Thanks for the calls. I think brickie's labourers have the vote this morning.
Well, they do have the vote.
Chef second and shearer's third. Thanks for calling
Triple M Breakfast.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
Oh, back to the tennis, because I ended up watching it every night at the moment. That's my go-to. I was watching last night, John Millman, one of my favourites. He was playing that Alexander Zverev, the big. He's about 6'6" or so. He's really skinny German. Number 3 in the world. And I thought, oh, this would be good. And it was, and he won. La, la, la. Millman's gone. But afterwards, the crowd was great, but Dylan Alcott, he goes courtside. You know the great Dylan Alcott?
Commentary, yeah.
Oh, well, he's courtside and he wheels over and does the interview after the match. It was really, really good. And they talked about, I didn't realise, because the crowd was getting stuck into Zverev because John Millman's an Aussie.
Aussie.
And this early part of the tournament, there's lots of Aussies. Next week, there will be only Ash Barty, most likely. So enjoying it at the moment. But I love the German when Alcott was asking him. The German's loving the Aussie crowds getting stuck into him.
You're playing an Aussie in Australia. Pretty much everyone wants you to lose, all right? So how do you prepare for a match like that knowing the crowd might not be on your side?
I'm prepared that everybody will hate me after the match. so that's, I think, is quite accurate. So, that's my mindset. Hopefully I'll get a lot of boos. Hopefully everybody will cheer against me. And there you go.
Oh, come on!
Well, hold on. Listen to this.
No, I'm kidding. But to be honest, I've always...
And they started cheering. Wow. The tennis crowds are so intimate. I guess because you're so close. Cricket, you can just be a drunk and you're like, hey, just yell out.
But so far away.
They're all, it's really intimate. Dylan Alcott was brilliant, and we all know how wonderful he was while he played. He did make reference to himself.
You had an incredible end of last year, in particular, winning the gold medal at the Tokyo Olympic Games. First and foremost, welcome to the gold medal club.
Yeah. The only difference is you got about 4 of them.
I do have about 4. That's right. You got 3 to go, but you'll get there.
Yeah. Well, no, get on.
Okay.
And
he sounds like he's been on a tennis junket or he's got the Rona. What's going on? Is he a bit scratchy?
He always talks like that, doesn't he?
Does he? I don't know.
No, he kept on going, and he asked the question that I always want to know, Olympic gold medalist, where do you keep it?
Where do you keep it?
It's actually a good question because my brother took it for a media appearance once. He's gone.
I saw him after the match. He was like, give me the towel as well. He just likes the freebies.
He didn't give it back to me yet. I don't know where it is for the past 5 months, so hopefully he hasn't sold it on eBay or something.
I actually saw it on eBay. I've actually got 5 now because I just bought it.
He's having a great old time. It was so simple and so easy and all clean fun. And then he asked, he's really skinny, okay? But last year he wore a singlet. Remember we said he looks like a builder's labourer? He made mention of that.
Last 18 months, you've been wearing the tank top. You've been getting the guns out, all right? Have you retired that? What happened? Because I was a big fan.
I mean, in the locker room, I've been told that my arms are so strong that it's too intimidating for their opponents. I thought I'll stay. it's definitely not retired. It's going to come out maybe for the French Open, because that's where the physical starts.
Man, I like it. I'll give you one bit of advice. Skip leg day. Overrated.
Wheelchair joke to finish.
What a duo. What a comedy act. Those two should roll out on tour.
Oh, no, it's great. Oh, royal family news. Things aren't getting any better for Prince Andrew. That doco came out in Britain the other night.
We haven't really talked about this. So the Queen, 2 weeks ago,
stripped him of all of his titles, his royal titles. He's on his own. Pay your own legal bills, mate. Off you go. And then ITV, they're one of the TV networks over in the UK. They've had it run this thing. It was called, what a wonderful title for the documentary. It was called Ghislaine, as in Maxwell, Ghislaine, Prince Andrew and the Pedophile. Oh. It sounds like a children's book.
Like a golden book.
Sounds like a horrific thing.
The whole doco is horrific for the royal family, but especially Prince Andrew, because people were just queuing to step out and go, oh, listen, I'll tell you what I saw, including this guy was an old one of his bodyguards, a protector. Staff, Paul, his name was. He couldn't put his hand up quick enough to say, "I saw Ghislaine Maxwell, coming into the palace all the time."
The two potentially linked as lovers by a former palace royal protection officer.
From the way she was allowed to enter and exit the palace at will, we realised. Suspected that she might have had an intimate relationship with Prince Andrew.
So everyone's just wants it because they know he can't sue because he hasn't got his mother's money anymore. So people are just having a real crack. This bloke went on. He said, oh, and another thing. What about this one?
We had about 50 or 60 stuffed toys positioned on the bed. Those bears weren't put back in the right order by the maids. He would shout and scream and become verbally abusive.
Yuck.
Yeah.
It's just yuck, isn't it? It's so gross.
Stuffed toys, and if the bears weren't perfect. Now, I remember Steve Waugh, when he used to go out to bat, had that red hanky.
What about the transition between poor Steve Waugh.
Steve Waugh, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
But Prince Andrew and his stuffed teddies.
Well, Prince Andrew, I don't know. He can take all care of his legal business on his own, but he obviously needed an adult comforter, a little teddy from when he was young, because he had the stress of being a royal member. A lot of people take their childhood comforter into their adult life.
Mm.
I don't know how many do.
Like a blankie?
I have a friend.
Yes.
When we go away on girls' trips, she has a teddy that she brings with her. She said, I just like the feeling of having something up under my neck. I'm like, oh, what? Like a pillow doesn't work?
We'll get something new from Kmart. Don't worry about it.
No, I think it's a sentimental thing. I'm not quite sure, but it's her thing, whatever. I don't care. It doesn't affect me.
I may be going out on a limb, but I'm sure, dob somebody in if you feel like it, or tell us about it yourself and tell us what the story is. So somebody would have had their teddy, their little bunny from when they were a kid, and have carried it through life to comfort them in the tough moments.
I had a girl that I used to dance with. She used to suck a thumb and hold on to a like an old singlet, you know, like a little bond singlet or something, and she used to roll it and stick it up her nose, and then she'd suck her thumb and have this thing stuck up her nose, and that was...
Wow.
I don't know if she still has
maybe
it.
Maybe I don't want to talk
maybe
about this.
Maybe it's like a 14, 15-year-old. She's still... Had it as a thing.
Well, if anyone doesn't know, Steve Waugh had that red hanky for when he was a kid, and he used to take it out.
We didn't get to Steve Waugh. Why did you bring him up?
It ended up being the size of a postage stamp.
That's
and he held onto it forever. He used to be in his left pocket whenever he batted. Well, kind of, but it was, I'm calling it an adult comforter, like a teddy. This might be tough. I'm not expecting anyone to ring 133353. Do you know anybody who does have one of these adult comforters, like a blankie from when they were a kid, or bunny, or teddy?
Sentimental value, Mark.
All right, just to try and help out, we've got some prizes to give away for our callers this morning as
you
well.
You bribing them?
I'm
again.
Absolutely bribing them.
I don't mind if no one rings. That's fine. 133353. It's a real long shot.
Something that you've carried through your childhood, yeah.
And surprisingly enough, we've had some phone calls. We've had a lot of calls. From Morningside. Is it Elle from Morningside? Hi, Elle.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah. Hey, Elle. Is it you or someone you know that's got a comforter?
It's my 25-year-old daughter.
Okay. And what is it?
So years ago, I went away on a holiday and she found a nightie of mine that smelt like her mum, apparently.
Oh,
so
sweet.
Every now and then still, she gets a bit of anxiety. So every now and then, I've got to have a sleepover with the nightie so it smells like me again.
Oh,
that's pretty nice.
So she carries your old nightie and you are her comfort, Elle. That's actually really nice and cute.
Pretty sweet, isn't it?
Yeah. How do you feel about that, Elle? Are you okay with it?
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
That's
I probably snuggle the corner of a blank, a corner of a sheet and rub it on my face when I sleep anyway.
So it's almost learned behaviour, isn't it, Elle, that you've passed
Maybe,
down to your
yeah.
daughter?
Yeah, blankies are great things.
I wonder if Prince Andrew could replace some of his dollies and please? Teddies with the Queen's 90.
We're leaving.
This is how this started.
Stop it. Leaving Prince Andrew behind. We don't want weird obsessions. We just want normal adult comfort.
Don't you say weird. Ashley from Fitzgibbon. I bet you it's not you. Is it somebody you know? Because if it's you, you wouldn't ring up, would you?
No, not at all. I'm not that stupid.
No.
No, it's my wife.
Oh, yeah?
She sleeps with you, Ashley. Are you her comforter?
Oh.
Trust me, never.
Never.
If she had her way, I'd be out of the bed. No, when my daughters were really younger, like 4 and 5, I bought them like a stuffed animal each. One was a pig, one was a cow. Now, my youngest was about 4, and my wife, after about 6 months, decided she liked the pig.
She stole it.
And she stole that pig. Now, that was, I would say, 18 years ago, and she still sleeps with it now and puts her fingers through its ears and everything like that.
Have the children moved out of home, Ashley?
Oh, yeah, they've both moved out, yep, and my wife still sleeps with this little pig.
Now, talk about the difference. Like, the child who got to keep the cow, that child probably grew up all right. What about the child that had the pig stolen from her?
Oh, she still lets my wife know that it used to be hers.
Yeah.
That's a weird place. Thanks, Ash. Love it.
What about on the burner phone, Samantha from Chambers Flat, yeah. Marto? She said, I was given a teddy bear on the day I was born, and I still sleep with it now 28 years later.
Nice. Samantha married, do you think?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Final one, Janelle from Landsborough.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Janelle, are you an adult who has a comforter?
Yes.
Tell us the story. Why have you still got it?
Well, my nan's sister, my great auntie, gave it to me when I was a baby, and I still pull it out every winter.
Is it something that you have used consistently throughout your whole life, or is it something that you packed away or you kept in the cupboard because it had sentimental value and then you came across it again, or has it always been really present, Janelle?
It's always been really present. Every winter it comes out.
Winter, that's amazing. Now, if you had if you had chambermaids like Prince Andrew, would you yell at them if they misplaced it?
Yes, probably. my dad tried to use it when my niece was a baby on her, and I nearly had a stroke.
I love the world.
Thank you,
I'm blown away that anyone rang.
There's
sorry to all those
well,
other
yeah.
comforted
Marto,
adults
can,
who
can I
take.
Just make a point what? To say that you as an adult also have a comforter because Paul from Mulaney said that your comforter is your right nut.
referred to earlier story.
Marto was talking before about getting needles.
Yeah. You're talking about that.
And then he goes to his manhood for comfort whilst having the needle.
All men go.
Thank you, Paul from Mulaney. No, that's all.
Yeah, but let's just move on. Triple
as an
M.
adult comforter.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Bobsled team in Australia. We have one. I didn't know that was a thing.
Is this the first time? Oh, no. Wasn't Yana Pittman, wasn't she a bobsledder, a double bobsledder?
I don't know. But it's been put on ice, the naming of the team. See what they've done there. They've used ice as a pun for Winter Olympics. Team, some confusion about who's going to be in the team. Apparently the world's fittest CrossFitter. Woman apparently needs a start there somehow. I'm not sure if she can bobsled or not, but being the fittest woman in Queensland.
Slow down for those people who aren't into bobsledding. Explain some more stuff. Is it the four-person stuff?
Well, they announced the qualified quota spots for nations around the world, and we did it. Ash and I qualified Australia for a spot at the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympics. Yeah. She shared to her Instagram page. It says here...
Should you have possibly read this before
I didn't actually really want to talk about bobsledding is a real thing, apparently. I just thought it was a movie from the 90s, but it's got a song and everything.
Run the track.
Oh, it takes me back. Time, run cool running. Run is that the name of the movie?
This is a song about bobsledding that was made by a Jamaican rapper because, of course, Jamaica has a bobsled team too in the Winter Olympics.
Some people say you know them can't believe Jamaica, we have a bobsled team. We have Wonder East.
I know one junior.
You'll Sanka, the fastest of Jamaican sprinters. Go to Olympics, fight for Jamaica.
Was that not the best movie in the 90s ever? Like, how it was.
Are you saying they're in again?
Yeah, they're in again. They're back. So the Jamaican have made it into the Winter Olympics. 1998 was the last time they were there for a four-man bobsled. Of course, initial debut into the Winter Olympics, which is what Cool Runnings was made off the back of, which was in 1988 in Calgary. And the world was taken back by the fact that probably the hottest place in the world, Jamaica, had a bobsled team in the Winter Olympics.
Am I allowed to ask questions, or would it put too much pressure on you to provide the answers? Well, have they been in the Olympics? Have they been in the Olympics since 1988 as a bobsledder?
Yes, so they have been in the Winter Olympics on multiple times. 1992,
bobsledding.
1994, 1998, 2002, and 2014. Jeez. Not just with a quad set of bobsledders, but also the two women bobsled. They also then made their first appearance in the 2018 Winter Games in
They're
Pyeongchang.
One of the world's great bobsledding nations. Have they ever won a medal? No. That's for cold country,
it
surely.
It doesn't have that here. But Jamaica is very excited. They have announced on their Twitter, breaking news, Jamaica, we have a bobsled team heading to Beijing. It will be fire on ice as Team Jamaica have secured their spot at the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympics.
Usain Bolt involved.
It says this will be the first time Jamaica has qualified in three Olympic bobsled events.
They missed out on
four-man, two-man, and the women's monobob.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah, there was some confusion, though, because the team was spotted doing training on the streets of London by pushing a car.
And perfect.
A heap of people pulled over to see if they needed help. They were having engine problems.
Can I get you in fresh battery?
They said, no, we're training for the Winter Olympics. This is our bobsled. They're like, no, it's a mini.
Time to talk tennis, and who else would you talk to but Casey Dellacqua, the former doubles partner and best mate of Ash Barty from the little girl from Springfield. Hi, Casey.
Hey, morning, guys. How are you?
Casey, wonderful. You must be so proud, not only watching your former doubles partner, but your best friend out there absolutely killing it at the moment. World number one. What a hell of a year she had last year. And it looks like this year's going to be the same.
Yeah, it was awesome. I sat courtside for Ash's match yesterday, and she really played a wonderful match once again. She's been clinical in her first two rounds. And I think, you know, as a friend, just sitting there and being able to watch her play such great tennis, but also just, you know, she's really enjoying it at the moment. She loves playing in Australia. And as she always says, she goes out there and has a crack. And I think, you know, as a viewer and as a spectator and as a fan of tennis, as well as a commentator and all that, I just love that she goes out there and she gives it her best. And I think that's all we can ever ask of our athletes.
A tennis question. She seems to have improved her serve. So some of these girls just can't cope with her at the moment.
Yeah, you're right. Your tennis knowledge is good. You look like you've been watching a bit of tennis. But she's really in good shape, Ash. And I really put that down to the fact that, you know, she's in really great physical condition. She's been able to put some good hours in the gym. She's really strong, so she's been able to get some really good power through her serve, both on first and second serve. And it's always been a strength. She's got great variety on the serve as well. So it's definitely something that I know as a returner and the other players up the other end of the court would definitely be finding it very difficult at the moment.
She's won in straight sets both of her matches, obviously through to the third round now, playing 30th seed Camilla Giorgi. Where do you see this ending up?
Look, Camilla Giorgi cannot be underestimated. She is a very good player. She likes to be up on the baseline. She's super aggressive. So Ash is going to have to, you know, continue to serve well. And when she gets her opportunities on serve, look to be aggressive herself and have the match on her terms. So I know that Ash is going to get that beautiful slice backhand out, and I'm sure that's going to trouble Georgie. But, looking forward to Ash's next round, and fingers crossed that she can keep it going.
That's tomorrow. But let's say take tonight, 6 o'clock here in Brisbane. It'll be on. Kyrgios playing against Medvedev. It's a tough haul for him. Hey, what's your view? Are you of the old school and go, oh, he's a fool? Or are you going, this is amazing for tennis? What's the general vibe?
Well, I think I'm probably in the category of I turned my telly on the other night to watch him. So
yeah,
I think
he's incredible.
He is, and I love my sport, and I think, you know, the more fans and the more audiences and diverse audiences we can bring to our game, I think that's not a bad thing. So
I was enjoying seeing Nick out there. I think you know, the fact that we know he doesn't do the same amount of work as probably other players, but he's just so talented. He gets out there and he just has a good crack in his own way, and that's his character and that's his personality. So I think tonight's going to be a bit of a different level in terms of opponents. So yeah, tonight I'm expecting a cracker of a match on Rod Laver Arena. But I can tell you now, I'll be tuning in for sure.
Casey, Ash is such an incredible ambassador for Australia, and she is a proud Indigenous woman. Yesterday being Indigenous Day at the Australian Open, would that have played on her mind ahead of that game? Would there have been an extra pressure?
I don't think it would have played on her mind. I think she would have just been super proud to be able to play on the inaugural AO First Nations Day here. Yep. I think it's a really great initiative that Tennis Australia are celebrating, and I think acknowledging, you know, our Indigenous culture. And we had a wonderful group of Indigenous young tennis players come in, and what an experience for them. They got to meet Ash after the game and go out on centre court and do the coin toss, and there's been beautiful artwork all around on site. There was a cultural walk yesterday morning as well. So I think Ash, she said it best, that for her, she was out on court and she was able to celebrate, you know, her heritage in the best way that she, and the most comfortable, and that's out on the tennis court. So it was a really, really beautiful day.
Casey, thank you so much. We'll all be watching Kyrgios tonight. Some hoping that he wins, some hoping that he gets his ass kicked. Too easy. We'll see you then.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you, Casey. Don't miss a second of the Australian Open live and free on Nine, Nine Gem, and streamed on Nine Now. It's Triple M.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.